Hello and welcome to Pony Palace. It's that wonderful time of year where I thrash 14 episodes in one sweep. Or, the way everyone else optimistically sees it, I elevate 10 episodes above the rest in a fast, frantic, fun top 10 list. So, this year's been an interesting one, from changelings to RPGs to suicide attempts and hyperactive griffins. It's time for the top 10 episodes of Season 6. Let's get started. Alright, I was kind of kidding about the whole thrashing 14 episodes thing. Most of the episodes this season were very good. And before I start, I want to make it very clear that with this list, I generally don't care about what background ponies they put into it, the continuity flaws that were made, the moral of the story being, you know, good, or if characters were acting out of character. No, the only thing I actually care about in this is if I was able to actually enjoy the episode. You know, if it was funny, if it made me forget about my miserable life for 20 minutes. And actually, that's not a bad warning, because number 10... An episode whose title is based around a phrase meaning to put things out of order has a few issues with continuity. Go figure! The episode revolves around the Cutie Mark Crusader setting out to compete in the Applewood Derby. If you know the Pinewood Derby, think bigger. Each of them choosing their mentor and wanting to win a prize that doesn't quite match their element, which sounds kind of familiar. Not until we have a Cutie Mark! That's not the message, though. As their mentors, the obvious choices, each take over for one reason or another, Applejack wanting to remain traditional, Rainbow Dash wanting to be the fastest, and Rarity wanting the most creative award out of revenge for losing as a filly. Losing to Derpy as a filly. In the end, it might leave you wondering how these carts even work, as gravity can't be the only thing powering them. Also, making you wonder where the hell have they been in the years the show's been running, as it might have been helpful. Still has enough moments that make it an enjoyable episode. Like the classroom opening with Cheerly actually trying to teach them physics.
Miss Cheerly? That sounds a bit over our heads.
It's a good episode that seems to have a bit of a wacky races influence to it. Well, too bad Diamond Tiara didn't want to go to the evil in this episode. Could have gone further with that wacky races thing. Alright, number 9. Compared to the other Spike episodes, Gauntlet of Fire feels like he's the one in control, and he's not abusing his power, unlike a few of the other episodes. So the Dragon Lord is calling all the dragons in the land to him, so Spike has to travel to the dragon's country to heed the warning. Although, I don't think it's too correct, because there's not that many dragons that show up. For instance, the green and red dragons that have been seen earlier don't appear here, and neither does Crackle, although speaking of which, Rarity and Twilight decide to tag along as a rock. Also, this episode has the return of an old troublemaker, Garble, who's continuing his troubling making.
Good luck! Just kidding. I hope you lose.
After learning that the plot to Stardust is going on, basically the Dragon Lord throws a scepter, and whichever dragon retrieves it becomes the new Dragon Lord. Spike decides to leave, since he doesn't have a chance. Except to his horrors, the dragons have horrible plans once in charge for Equestria.
When I win, I will pillage Equestria for all their pillows. Why should these ponies be comfortable while we sleep on rocks?
Wait, they don't even have pillows? I hate to say this, but perhaps the ponies could do a bit better with their dragon relations. Add in a new character slash love interest for Spike, Ember. A lot of dangerous traps and an interesting non-injury-inducing punishment for Garble at the end, and, well, this episode ranks up pretty fast. Though seriously, Celestia could do a bit better to improve relations with the dragons. And the griffins. And you know, the yaks weren't doing too good until last season either. You know, let's just go on to number 8 before I start a coup against Celestia. This episode is what happens when you make your writers binge on Food Network. The map kinda got forgotten after the events of season 5, but does come back halfway through this season. First pairing up being Rarity and Pinkie Pie. This is their second episode together this season, though, sending them to Counterlot. More specifically, the restaurant Row, where the elite seat to eat. Unfortunately, the reviewer Rarity follows doesn't match what either her or Pinkie Pie want, and they wind up stumbling into the Tasty Treat, an Indian-themed restaurant. Although I'm not sure what they call the Equestria version of India. They don't really mention it, I think. Along with the restaurant's owners, Saffron Masal and her grumpy father, Corian Kumin. They don't seem to be doing too well.
What does it matter? When they leave, no pony else will be coming in.
Well, your attitude isn't going to bring anyone in.
Rarity and Pinkie Pie decide that fixing the restaurant is their goal from the map. So Pinkie Pie tries to get customers to come to no avail, and Rarity snazzies up the restaurant, which means turning it into every other restaurant with the same food.
Not that! Anything but that!
Throwing in a dash of problems with that plan, also mixing in some food onto the snooty Von Karma looking food critic, and a lot of pony food celebrity cameos, and bon appetit! Alright, they didn't need Rarity and Pinkie Pie really for this to happen. They needed Chef Gordon Ramsay. Oh wait, he's right there! Along with Cat Cora, Julia Childs, and many more. Just keep Ramsay and Childs apart. That rap battle got kinda heated. Alright, 7's up. Well, this year I put to rest my Fluttershy's a bitch joke. Guess I can't call her an orphan anymore either. With Mr. and Mrs. Shy inviting her and Rainbow Dash over for dinner, Fluttershy gets blindsided by another guest, her brother, Zephyr Breeze. I would like to make a joke about him coming out of thin air, but I actually think Shining Armor and Mod Pies takes higher priority on that one, so I'm actually not that bugged by it. And he is a piece of work. Not having a job, apparently failing at a long string of things due to lack of effort, still living with his parents, being obnoxiously into himself. Oh my god! He's me! Wait, no, that's not right. But he is similar to what older people seem to think of the millennial generation. Oh, and he's another Rarity in this case. He's actually Fluttershy's younger brother. He also seems to have a thing for Rainbow Dash.
Oh, this ought to be good.
Sorry, I shouldn't tease you. I know the whole super awesome flyer bit's just to impress me.
Yeah, keep this in mind. Fluttershy gets her parents to kick him out of their house, which only lands him at her house. She gets him 2 jobs with Rarity and Twilight. He bombs out of both of them because he tries to get out of the work. Although Rarity's one does add something to that crush on Rainbow Dash thing.
But I'm actually kinda into this look.
Though that crush might go away pretty quickly since Rainbow Dash has a job for him. And if he doesn't do well, she's gonna zap him with a thundercloud. A trick I think she learned from Turnabout Storm.
Rainbow Dash is crazy, okay? She expects me to do stuff right when she asks me to do it.
That's what most people say about working with Franziska von Karma. Learning a bit about personal responsibility towards the end, Zephyr does turn his life around thanks to Rainbow Dash and Fluttershy. It's a good episode, and one that's making me want to see a future episode with all the siblings hanging out. So, on to number 6. Because they didn't get all their Top Gun references out in Wonderbolt Academy. And they are, still missing the volleyball scene, so, they're gonna need another go at it. Rainbow Dash and Twilight are sent by the magical, mystical friendship map to the Wonderbolts headquarters, where they have to help out 2 hotshot flyers. Well, both turn out not to be so hot. one has been aiding the other too much and in turn have hurt both their chances at flying with the Wonderbolts. Hell, the Geistinger can't even get into the air sometimes, and the Gal Vapor Trails doesn't have any of the style that is needed for the Wonderbolts. With help, they obviously both improve. Alright, although I do love the story and the characters in this, there's something else that happened that I probably should get into. But first, a disclaimer. Every reviewer you watch or read is biased. Some not a lot, but I'm not an exception to this rule. I just have a different point of view, and well... Alright, enough stalling. In my last watch of this episode, something was off. Something didn't feel right. There's this background pony. Well, not quite background, but one of the new flight cadets who actually has lines. You know, this one.
I just wanted you to know, you two are my favorite ponies in all of Equestria.
You know, I kind of liked her at first. She was very interesting. She had a couple very good lines. My last time around, though, I kind of noticed her cutie mark, which is a wings and a heart. And then her name kind of came up, because Spitfire does yell her name.
Angel Wings! You call that cloud busting? That cloud barely knew you were there!
That plus this weird sort of ESP, you know, one that makes you feel like this will somehow lead back to your heart defect. I feel like I just lost all of you right now. Anyway, that led me to wiki search this, and... Yeah, okay, and I found that she was created through the Make-A-Wish Foundation, the second time they've done this, for a kid named Alexis Huell. Sorry if I got the pronunciation wrong. Who has a congenital heart defect and connective tissue disorder. Alright, admittedly, I don't know much about connective tissue disorders, but I do know that congenital heart defects can run the gambit of things you won't even know you have until they find it on autopsy, to the absolute worst holy living hell syndrome that you can think of. And if you know of it, especially younger, tends to be closer to the latter. Okay, I might have put this on the list because I want to remain loyal to the people with heart conditions. I warned you, bias. Let's just move on before I go on a fun-filled heart rant that I'm so well known for. Number 5. Oh, woo! Double Wonderbolts! Rainbow Dash's lifelong dream has come true when Spitfire gives her the good news that she's finally been accepted into the Wonderbolts. She's actually surprisingly calm about this news. Unfortunately, things go downhill after she embarrasses herself on day one by diving into a trash can, earning herself a familiar nickname.
Are you okay, Rainbow Dash?
More like Rainbow Crash!
Now, to try and avoid the nickname, which everyone now calls her, she tries to impersonate the main six and get on everyone's good side. She actually impersonates them pretty well, I might add.
I must tell you how much I just love these uniforms. Why, ever since I was a foal, I've admired the mixture of bold lines and classic contours.
Though, that might be sexual harassment. Wait, do the Wonderbolts have an HR? Oh, wait, double wait, wouldn't that be PR? How would they differentiate that from public relations, which they must have? In the end, her final plan is just way too complicated, and leads to her nearly getting killed when the stunt goes horribly wrong. Although, good note here, now we know Pegasi have bones in the feathers of their wings. Interesting. After almost getting kicked off the Wonderbolts team, ooh, I just realized that half the ponies that were kicked off of the Wonderbolts have wound up in the studio. I don't think we need Rainbow Dash here. After that stunt goes horribly wrong, she's met by the rest of the members of the Wonderbolts that inform her that all the nicknames are ways of mocking the other members. Kind of stabs those anti-bullying episodes of Diamond Tiara in the back when it comes to morals, but I guess it's okay if it's a team setting, right? I still like this episode for all it entails. Plus, it's a good end to a long arc. Next up, number 4. An overarching theme of this season, it was definitely second chances. Heck, many of the previously mentioned episodes involved them too, like giving Rainbow Dash a second chance at the end of Newbie Dash, or the restaurant getting a second chance in Spice of Your Life. Well, there's no bigger episode to prove that than the two-part finale. Also, finally giving me something I've wanted for a few seasons now. A finale or an opener that does not revolve around Twilight. As the changelings take over and replace every main character in the show, except for Starlight Glimmer. Yeah, poor her. She's actually been avoiding this list pretty badly. So, it's up to her to save the day. Well, her and her magician best friend who also got a second chance. Or third chance, there's still some math issues with that. Also, a reformed changeling joins the team from another episode. And of course, the reformed. We need finger quotes around that, though. Master of Chaos, Discord, joins the team as he lost his friends, too.
We need to...
They took Fluttershy?
Yes!
Where?
Or friend, singular. Okay, mostly what puts this on the list is the interactions between Discord and Trixie.
While you'll still be a self-absorbed, below-average illusionist.
Self-absorbed?!
Does anyone else want to see the Discord and Trixie show? That is a spinoff I think people would enjoy. Stop making the Equestria Girls movies and make that. And to be fair, every pony featured had their own special episode in this season. But together they work very well. Also, let's face it, this is a Suicide Squad take. And that movie did... okay, I think? I still haven't seen it. Alright, before we get into the final three, last season I added two other episodes on the list. An episode that everyone loved, but I hated at first and was currently warming up to, so I gave it a special mention, and an episode that I really didn't care for, that I thought I would hate anyway, and there was no warming up that was going to happen. Well, I have two similar entries this time, so let's start up with that warming one. Oh, whoops, I might have given this away. Out in May. That's pretty much the only problem I have with this. I mean, sure, it's a watered-down telling of the Christmas Carol, leaving out a lot of elements, probably just to fit the 22-minute time restraints, but it's well-meaning. Also, this is the episode where you can no longer ignore the one fact that I've been trying to avoid, that Heartswarming Eve is Christmas, pretty much. The first episode, you could argue that this could happen at any time of year, definitely with the way that the story goes. The second... okay, you could still make an argument if you want to ignore the first few minutes of the episode. But this one, there's no more confusion. Although I do like this episode. Heck, it's probably the best Christmas episode they got right now. Except, that's the problem. Christmas episodes are only really tolerable for 3 of the 12 months to me. December, obviously. November is fine too, although it's not as tolerable as December. And honestly, I'll give a pass to July, because Christmas in July is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Seriously, try it next year. Sit down and watch Christmas movies and TV shows in July. It's amazing! And that's the reason I left it off the list, though. It's not bad by any stretch. Unlike... I want to make this clear. I do not hate this episode because it's racist.
There's no such thing as a nice changeling.
I do not hate this episode because it's politically charged.
Oh, it sure looks like Princess Twilight in her pupil. But how can we be sure?
I don't even hate this episode because it throws out a lot of continuity. Yeah, that changeling mentions being at one of the weddings. It should have mentioned it being at two. No, I hate this episode because it makes pretty much the biggest sin a show can do. It's boring. There seems to be no jokes in this episode. Every pony is acting very mean and angry. The song is practically a lullaby to me. And I have enough problems with that that I can ad-lib a review right now, which I am currently suppressing. Okay, I lied a bit. Hold on, I can explain this one before you guys comment. There is one joke in the episode that got a laugh out of me. This one.
Actually, Twilight, I wanted to introduce you to my friend. A crystal...
That one was, you know, a funny Kaiser Sose type reference, you know, usual suspect thing. It's pretty nice. Also, however, they freaking did it already! Yeah, that joke was funny when Spike did it in Gauntlet of Fire!
You kinda look like...
My, old neighbor, Sandy Rockbeach.
So, that doesn't really count anymore. Also, for how irrational the hatred the Crystal Ponies had towards the Changelings, they still seem to switch sides kinda rapidly. That should have taken more time. This is a complex issue that they really, really shouldn't have tackled, that has parallels in the real world, and they think they can fix it with song. This is actually worse than last year's episode. What about Discord? And yet, I still don't think I can do a review for this episode, because it would be 15 minutes of me just being asleep. Alright. Got that out of my system. On to the remainder of the list, number 3. So, Rainbow Dash goes to a Daring Do convention. And it's almost exactly like what we've got here. A lot of cosplayers, a lot of merchandise, and a lot of people who you only seem to know from them. The one I know is one of the vendors pretty much knows me as that guy that collapsed in their booth. For Rainbow Dash, there's Quibblepants, a know-it-all Daring Do fan. After they hang out a bit, you know, they trade facts, they shop for merchandise, they go through physical challenges from Double Dare, they screw... I was kidding about that! Though perhaps this is a good time to point out that Rainbow Dash had about 3 suitors this season. Although, Zephyr Breeze was kind of one-sided, and I might just be reading too much into the whole Soarin' thing, but still, it's kind of interesting. Although, Quibble starts losing points when he mentions that he hates all the Daring Do books outside of the first trilogy. Well, let's give him credit, though. He apparently read the rest. After getting wrapped up in a Daring Do adventure for real, the two of them learn to get along or get eaten by a new creature on the show that I absolutely love.
You're real. This is real.
Alright, I'm gonna attempt to pronounce this properly, and I'm gonna butcher it. This is a Cipactli. C-I-P-A-C-T-I-L-I. Which has roots in Aztec mythology as a primeval sea monster, part crocodile, fish, and toad. Guess that's close. And it is by far the cutest thing I've ever seen that will probably eat me in one bite if I ever ran into it. So let's just smile that that thing exists. Let's go on to number 2, the runner-up, the bridesmaid, not the bride, the number 1 loser. Because if you're not first, you're last. Sorry, Ricky Bobby's kind of in my head right now. Number 2. Honestly, the last 4 could have interchanged with each other. They were all very close, but the order I chose was pretty much the one I felt the best with. For number 2, a review comes out for Rarity's newest boutique. The one she was shopping around for in Manhattan in the gift of the Mod Pie. And we learn that she did not do a very good job with that. And the review can make or break her. However, the setup for it is, well...
Well, it wasn't the funnest party ever.
The style of the episode is a flashback into another flashback that plays out pretty well, with each of the main 6 giving commentary on what's going on, including a family of raccoons living in the boutique, Rarity's employee Coco Pomel is sick and she needs to hire new ones, the landlord's seemingly crazy daughter forcing her views on the place, misorganized stock, and the Pony Palace being right upstairs. Okay, that last one was wrong. But...
Turns out there's a Club Pony Party Palace upstairs! Turns out there's a Club Pony Party Palace upstairs!
Wrong, but scarily close. With Rarity unable to get everything done, even mentioning the whole clone plan thing, and hinting at one of them escaped from Pinkie Pie's attempt with it, she divvies up the tasks, but things only get worse from there until they hit, well, this point.
When you
you write the story, could you maybe skip over the part where we locked Rarity in the window display?
Throw in Rarity learning all about this at the end, and well, this episode is a nice watch. And finally, the number one episode this season! Strange. I feel like I've covered this episode before. Well, Starlight needs to make a new friend, but due to her past and her want to use magic on everybody, she winds up an outcast. Until she meets a pony at the spa whom she seems to connect to, and they hit it off. The problem here being that said new friend is the great and powerful Trixie, whom hasn't exactly made a good impression in Ponyville, and has made enemies with Twilight Sparkle, who doesn't like their relationship and sets out to stop it. Kinda dickishly, actually. Even introducing Starlight to DJ Pawn 3 and a specific unnamed male mare. However, what really cinches the win is pretty much the ending, which I did go over pretty well already, because it's probably one of the darkest non-fan-made things in the series. When Trixie tries to commit suicide on stage using a magic trick that she can't perform, that will lead to her death by Manticore. This is all due to Starlight Glimmer breaking up with her and Trixie due to a slip-up that Trixie made when gloating to Twilight.
I win!
You win? That sounds like you just made friends with me to beat Twilight.
Exactly!
Ouch! And you know what? Wait, I actually missed something in that review that makes this a bit darker. Starlight knew Trixie couldn't perform that trick and was watching it go down. She could have done something, but it didn't look like she was going to until, well, Twilight re-intervened. A bit of darkness is very good for a bright show, and I think that they had set this episode way over the edge, this one winning by pretty much a landslide. The few of the lines before didn't hurt, like the one in the opener where Twilight's explaining silverware.
This spoon is your heart, and the knives are sharp. Always be careful with knives.
That one's funny. Anyway, season 6 is actually a very good season. It was hard for me to come up with a lot for this list. I still feel bad that I left a few of them off. Ones like Dungeons and Discord, Buckball season, and others are all very good, minus that Changeling episode. And maybe that one where Starlight mind rapes everyone. That one has issues. You know what? This has made me think that I can't do another year avoiding episode reviews like I did. I only did 2 this year, and I feel like I've fallen very far behind. So in 2017, I'm going to plan a lot more episode reviews. We're getting more weeks in 2017, right? Vitreous, do you know what's happened to any of the spoons? I swear, someone has been stealing all our spoons in this damn place. I don't know. Okay. But I'll be watching you. I will see every pony here next time for more pony fun here at Pony Palace. And don't forget, the spoons are your hearts.